You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government passed a new Hauraki Gulf Marine Protection Act. The act includes a new organisation of marine protected areas and new rules for fishing in the hopes that they will address environmental issues in the Gulf. Concerns, however, remain over the well-being of marine life, both now and going forward, and particularly that of large marine life like whales and dolphins. I spoke to Professor of Marine Ecology and Conservation Biology at the University of Auckland, Rochelle Constantine, about the welfare of these larger marine animals, how this bill will help them, and what work there remains to be done. To start with, looking to the new Act itself, what are the supposed impacts for biodiversity in the Gulf?
The fact that we've moved from 0.3% protection to 6% is great news. This has been a long conversation amongst all different people who value the Gulf, and we're really happy to see this announced. It's now sort of the beginning where we can measure and see actually what the effects are. So my particular area of interest is the really large animals, the ones that people ooh and ah about, in particular whales and dolphins, but also seabirds, sharks, the rays that we see increasing number of manta rays. So these spaces where we have protection means that when there's no fishing, we know that these ecosystems will recover if we're not removing from them. And this is, you know, recreational and commercial fisheries have quite a big impact in fish removal in the Gulf. The more fish means the more spawning, the more baby fish, and then there's a downstream effect that goes beyond the boundaries of these protected areas. When you're a big animal, like a shark or a dolphin, those fish are food and are really important. So we're expecting that these protected areas will, at least in some ways, be a source of food, of prey. And if it benefits the big animals, we know that the smaller animals are doing well as well.
And with regards to larger animals in sea life, like whales and rays, etc., what is the current state of these populations in the Hauraki Gulf and New Zealand's wider waters?
In the Hauraki Gulf, we're really fortunate. Te Kapamoana, the sort of inner part of the Gulf, and Te Moananui Atoi, which is the outer part of the Gulf, both of those areas are incredibly rich in productivity. So the area has been recognised internationally as an important marine mammal area and also an important shark and ray area, which is a global designation. I think most people who live on the edge of it don't realise what such a special place it is. Here in the Hauraki Gulf, we have four main species of whale or dolphin that are here year-round. Brooders whales are a 15-metre long whale. They're nationally critical, so they have the same endangered species status as kakapo, as our most endangered animals. And so their use of the Hauraki Gulf year-round is very interesting. The productivity, the amount of food, they mostly eat zooplankton, but also those little small schooling fishes. People often call them bait fish, the pilchard, soury, things like that. But those are very important food for these whales. So we have those, which is fortunate. It's only one of three populations in the world so close to coast. We also have killer whales, which pass through, so they're roaming quite widely around Aotearoa, but they also are critically endangered. We have bottlenose dolphins that are the big grey ones, about 3 metres. You often find them mooching around all the bays and thrilling people when they're at anchor, catching a fish or having a snorkel. And those bottlenose dolphins are also recognised as threatened. And then we have, of course, the common dolphins, which are the beautiful they're about 2 metres hourglass pattern on their side. And so those dolphins are very ubiquitous throughout the Gulf. And you'll often see them in the outer waters in big workups. So you'll see gannets diving, common dolphins, occasionally a whale going through, and then many, many different species of seabird. And all of those animals, the seabirds, the sharks, the whales, the dolphins, in those big workups are part of a really important community. And they look at each other and learn off each other. So having a thriving Gulf is really good for supporting all of those cetaceans that I talked about, either those in workups or those mooching around the bays or picking up stingrays or whatever they may be feeding on. And basically, you know, as I tell people, if the big things are looking good, that means that the little things are okay and the health of the golf is okay. And so this protection means that we're moving towards that, you know, towards better protection and ultimately protection for everything to thrive, including us. You know, this is not about other animals and then us. I think we need to get closer to acknowledging our role as humans within this ecosystem function, and so that we can have fish into the future, because as it's going at the moment, the Gulf is very degraded, and you know, we won't have those communities of seabirds and sharks and everything, and we also won't be able to catch a fish, which is the stories that people have.
And with that said, what sort of concerns remain for these populations in the Hauraki Gulf, both that are tackled by this new act or that are left unaddressed?
I guess one of the big challenges for us is for a lot of the animals that we have here, they're really mobile. So like the sharks aren't here all the time. Like those big oceanic sharks come in the sort of mid-later summer months. The manta rays arrive in the summer, the false killer whales, which are this big black, about 7 metre long animal, they come down in the summer months. So we kind of, and a lot of the seabirds are migratory, right? So we have these big patterns of movement, and something about for people to really note about the big animals is they are really good indicators of what's going on. So we look after them for a little amount of time, right? They're here in these waters for a short amount of time, and then they move somewhere else, either up into the Pacific or offshore, wherever they may go. So one of the things to think about in that protection sense is this protection that we've put in place helps the system, and it helps us take our foot off. This is something we can do immediately by minimizing or at least reducing our fisheries footprint, remembering that 94% of the Gulf you can still fish in, right? So it's only 6% you can't. But in that sense, that small amount of protection is a movement in the right direction that will protect the smaller things and then the larger things, but also those things that live here, as well as those animals that are only here for a short period of their life. And so protection overall is a great idea in so many ways. We actually have to give up so very little for this protection.
With this new act and these protections, in the face of climate change, how can we kind of expect these populations to benefit, or is there going to be a little bit of a touch and go kind of crisis, I guess?
That's a really good question. Climate change, it's not the elephant in the front room, it's the elephant walking through your house all the time. You cannot ignore it. And so this particular piece of legislation doesn't deal with climate change. It's, you know, it's about marine protection. So the one thing we all know and is very clear, climate change is happening. We are seeing the effects of it now. Those beautiful, long, warm summer waters that we experience, those are a disaster in the ocean. For seabirds, we often get starving seabirds because the prey that they're eating, the little zooplankton, the little animal planktons, it's too warm at the surface, so they move down into the water column and the seabirds can't get down to the food. We know for a fact, we've already shown that in warm years, the cetaceans move out further. So the brooders whales and the common dolphins in particular will move further out in the Gulf because their prey moves out. And for the brooders whales, that potentially puts them at risk of ship strike in non-protected waters, which has been a great conservation win we've had here in the Gulf. But that whole shift in the food chain, the marine food chain here in the Gulf, we are seeing that. We see that now. And protection, these marine protected areas can't resolve that. That's a bigger conversation, and we need every day to be acting to mitigate climate change impacts. But the thing that we can do immediately here and now is to think about what we're removing from the Gulf. Think about not, you know, disturbing the seabed. Think about those small actions that we can do, thinking about what runs off from land into the sea.
And with all that said, what do you want to see from the government going forward in regards to protection and other sort of ocean-based policy?
The most important important thing we can do is make sure that people embrace this opportunity and see the benefit of this protection. So we need to enforce it. There's no point having laws unless you're going to enforce them. So that is very important. We also need to understand how this is whether and how this is making a difference. We know that it will be making a difference, but we do need to measure that through different, you know, knowledge systems, mātauranga Māori, from research, from communities engaging, narratives of people. There's many different layers through which we can see this. So we need to invest in monitoring, we invest in enforcement, but we also need to really take seriously the 30 by 30 initiative. 30% of our waters protected by 2030 is a global initiative. This is a small step in the right direction, but we still have some way to go. I think most importantly, the government has a really critical role in stopping this conflict. You know, it's like pro-fishing, anti-fishing, or, you know, pro-development, anti-development. We actually need to all come together for the ocean. 94% of this country is ocean. There's 14 times more ocean than land that makes up Aotearoa New Zealand. So we need to take that seriously. More than every second breath you take is from because of the ocean. And people, we just kind of take it for granted. So the government needs to play a really big role in us embracing our ocean and looking after it better than we have been. And this protection is a step in the right direction.
That was the University of Auckland's Rochelle Constantine on the well-being of cetaceans and large marine animals under the new Hauraki Gulf Marine Protection Act.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/becasts.